Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 9th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Huh, that would be me. We have a really mixed bag for you today. First, our favorite porn star, Robert Black, stops by with all the behind-the-scenes dirt from the 2008 Masturbate-a-thon. This is a laugh riot, folks. Then we'll do a little question and answer, and, if we have time, a swell toy review. Why, you just can't beat that lineup with a stick. Today's podcast is appropriately brought to you by one of my all-time favorite sponsors, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish gear, including today's toy for review, right up there at the top of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes siree, sex fans. You can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty sex toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. You'll be glad you did. Before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you all of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question? Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you just want to rant or rave. Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two. Why not give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, we're all looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. So do you all remember me posting on my site that May was Masturbation Month and that the good folks at San Francisco Center for Sex and Culture was sponsoring their annual Masturbate-a-thon on May 25th of this year? I think this year was their 8th annual wank-off. Well, our good friend Robert Black was one of the event's headliners, so to speak. And here he is now with all the behind-the-scenes dish. Sex fans, Robert Black is going to tell us all about his experience at the Masturbation-a-thon for the lovely month of May. But first, he needs to take care of his doggies.
They're like kids.
Oh, they're worse than children. Well, not.
So sorry, I forgot. No, I'm kidding. That's what I would say if I had children, too.
Luckily, all your children wind up in wadded-up Kleenex.
Thank God. Okay.
So since Robert is also doing a podcast out of this, he's going to be introducing me.
So I'm talking to my friend Dr. Dick in, can I give your whole name?
Sure.
Richard Wagner. Dr. Richard Wagner.
PhD, not MD, of course.
And what is your website so people can find you?
It's DrDickSexAdvice.com.
That's easy.
That sure is. And don't you forget it either.
And Dr. Dick produced a couple of my videos. After Hours.
That's right.
And
Barback Blues.
Barback Blues.
Mm.
Okay. So anyway, I'm telling Dr. Dick about my experience at the Masturbate-a-thon. Because he was not there, unfortunately, to witness it.
Yes, and we're all waiting with bated breath here, us sex fans.
I know. So I'm finally going to talk about it. Yeah, it was weird. Well, I was there with Ken, my partner.
Uh-huh. Moral support.
Moral support. And so we showed up, and right away the paparazzi greeted me.
Did they know who you were?
Well,
did you wear a sign?
Nobody ever knows who I am. I shouldn't say that. But anyway.
You shouldn't say that. I would know who you were.
Yeah. No, there was someone out in the front there, outside the building, from one of the local newspapers.
Ah.
And so she got a little statement from me. She asked me how I had been preparing for the event.
Oh, I see.
And I said, it's not what I did to prepare, it's what I didn't do. So,
see how clever you are?
First, I got undressed, and I had I stripped down to army boots and boxer shorts. Not the clingy kind,
yeah.
like dad's boxer shorts kind of thing. And a wife beater t-shirt.
Oh, it's the Robert Black look.
It's not the typical Robert Black look.
What, no chains,
I thought it would
and
top.
Whips and ropes and things?
I thought it looked kind of heterosexual. So
there you go.
So,
you could pass, probably.
I could pass in a pinch. So I did that. Ken didn't strip down, at least not at that point. He did kind of later on.
Oh, there's more to come, I can tell.
He's not shy. He's not really shy. He's just, I think he wasn't sure what he had to figure out the whole thing. It was a little overwhelming. So there was an area where there was food and stuff, but I don't know, at a masturbate-a-thon, that's not kind of where I want to have a buffet, you know what I mean?
Imagine.
And no sneeze guard, no gloves. I don't know. Forget it. Yuck. So anyway, then there was a room where there was no video stuff going on. It was just, you know, for people who didn't want to be webcast. They could go in this big room and the low lighting, and the main area was men, women could be there, but it was mostly men.
Squeezing them out.
Yeah. And mostly straight guys, but there were some gay guys. Uh-huh. And
how could you tell?
Because the straight guys were...
closing their eyes. And the gay guys not.
Well, the straight guys were focused on the women.
I see.
And
they were looking at.
The gay guys were all staring at the straight guys.
There you have it. See, it's
weird.
Really clear to tell when, you know... You got your dick in your hand. It all depends on what you're looking at.
And most of them were totally naked. So I stayed in my outfit. I think that's kind of sexier than
just... Yes, I do. Yeah. I agree.
Because then if I wanted to stroke, I would just pull it out through my boxer shorts.
Oh,
I think
like
that's
dad.
Hot. Yeah. And then there was like a little area off to one side with just women. If they
uh-huh.
didn't... If, I guess, lesbians... Or women who just, I don't know, didn't want to... I don't know why they would even be there, though. But anyway. And then there was another area for just guys, but nobody was really going back there. Everybody sort of just hung out in this main area.
Right.
And there was... then there was, like, a green room area for crew and where they were doing... Yeah, celebrities. So I could go in there. And
I love
with
it.
With my personal assistant, Ken.
That's right.
And
the mop-up boy, the fluffer.
And then there was the big performance room where they had, count them, three cameras, you know, video cameras.
Yes.
And there were bleacher-style seating.
Wow.
I mean, you know, like three or four rows of seats, you know, raked.
Yeah.
Like a theater.
Right.
And let me tell you, it was standing room only for a lot of it.
Yeah. Did they have to wear protective gear so they didn't get spunked on it?
Personal protective equipment. That's what they call it in healthcare. Yeah. Gloves, gowns.
That's
no,
right.
No. It wasn't like a Gallagher show. No.
Which is that really too bad, huh? When you stop to think about it.
Yeah. No. Okay. So there was the... You know, an area where people, voyeurs paid. They would get a voyeur ticket.
Ah.
And they were, you know, they didn't undress or anything. They were there to watch the, you know, so-called performers.
They couldn't touch themselves impurely.
They could if they wanted to.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And so then in this, what they were looking at was this big sort of open room where there were people who were okay with being on camera, webcast, because the event was webcast live.
Yes.
And then there was down at the one far end of this room was sort of the performance area. And my friend Tom Orr sang some songs, very funny songs, all sort of around masturbation, of course. And let's see. So they had they billed me as a performer.
Uh-huh. And rightfully so.
And I was really the only male performer. The only other male performers were like, there was a contortionist, had nothing to do with masturbation, and a violinist.
Which also had nothing to do with masturbation.
Nothing to do with masturbation, although he came to my rescue, and I'll explain that later.
Okay.
And then there was Tom Orr. He did the singing. So, but the female performers were all, you know, they did this sort of, they each did like a masturbation routine thing.
Uh-huh.
But see, they can do that.
Why can they
do that? Because it was like performance art. You know, they had costumes and music. Because they don't have to produce an erection.
Yeah.
They don't have to produce a load.
That's right.
You know, so there's no timing pressure for them. They just get up there and nobody knows if they actually
come or not.
Right. So it's, you know, they screamed and carried on. Okay, I guess they came. Who knows? Who cares?
Well, thanks for sharing that, Robert.
But they all did their thing, and it was very interesting to watch. And then I was like the last so-called performer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, so what's your act? You know, the woman with the headphones says, we're going to announce you. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. This isn't quite what I expected. I didn't know I was going to go up there and just, you know, like...
pull the pud.
Yeah. I said, and the violinist
still...
Won't
someone please talk to me? Please?
And there were all these women around, you know...
That must have been aphrodisiacal for you, huh?
Total turn on. And, you know, and the hottest guys there, of course, were dressed.
Yeah.
You know, voyeurs or the camera crew. Uh-huh. I mean...
They tend to be hot, camera people.
Why is that? It's
I
true.
I don't know, but it's true.
I've noticed that. On a lot of porn shoots, the hottest guys are behind the camera.
Yeah.
So we worked it out. There was the violinist, who was quite sexy and straight. He still was going to do a couple of songs. So, and he was really into this idea. He was going to play the violin while I kind of did my thing.
Oh.
And he said,
mood music.
Yes, and the song was, and I... somebody please comment on the blog and tell me what this song is. But it, dun 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 dun. You know that song?
Uh huh.
What is it?
I'll have to look that one up.
All right,
we'll give it some thought.
One of my listeners will.
Of course.
Let me know what that is.
Because you got really classical kind of listeners, huh?
Yes.
Very cultured. They're cultured. Oi.
What are you saying? I don't think I like that. Anyway, so then, so he played that, and he said that he would just, you know, adjust the music to what I was doing, and
cool.
He said, you know, if you get there, fine. If you don't, you know, we just wind it down, and that's it.
Well,
so the pressure was
doesn't necessarily mean coming, does it?
It doesn't, but I had promised that if I raised $1,000, that I was going to get my legs up over my head, and I was going to jerk off right in my mouth.
No shit.
Yeah.
You promised this?
Yeah.
Mm.
And you know what? We didn't raise $1,000, but it came damn close.
So you shot in your eye instead. Just to show them.
Well, you know what Coco says about cum in your eye?
Yes, I do.
It burns.
Damn it.
So I did it. Yeah. I stroked for a long while. I had to sort of, you know, a lot of the people there they really got off on being watched.
Yes.
And I guess I'm an exhibitionist, but
For as much as a porn star, as big as a porn star you are, I don't really think that you're all that much an exhibitionist.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. You know, I mean, you're amazing at what you do, of course, but unlike a true exhibitionist, you really have to get into a space, don't you? You know, you
yes.
have to be turned on, and you have to, you know, the situation has to be right. A real exhibitionist really doesn't need that.
Right, exactly. I've tried to explain this to people. Like, there were people there who were truly, you know, they were hard and turned on because they were exposed to an audience. But for me, I actually had to get my mind out of the space.
Yeah, center yourself.
Think about something and put myself somewhere else. And so finally I got hard and I did it.
Put somebody's eye out, no doubt.
Yeah, and got those legs up over my head. They had a couch there, and so I got my legs up over the back of it and over my head, and
you
boom.
You were so amazing.
Did it. Yeah, I am. So that's when he...
So we couldn't... The
crescendo.
Could we still see that? Or was it, did they say the archive, the live show is an archive or anything like that?
That's a good question. You know, some people missed this webcast. They were supposed to get a link to see the webcast if they donated. And some people apparently never got to this link and never got to see it. So I wrote and asked if this would be, you know, people could see it after the fact or they would send me.
Right.
A file, but no, I haven't even heard a word.
Well, that's a bummer because, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, an archive, you could even pay X amount of money to, you know, to see the archive.
True. But, one other thing. There was they were filming a documentary there.
Oh.
Hang on. It was called, Sticky.
Clever.
So if you go to stickythemovie.com. You will see the trailer for it. So that would be, if I'm in that, and I have a feeling I will be.
One would think.
That'll be my second documentary. But in Sticky, hopefully they'll get that shot.
One would hope.
Literally.
Because, you know, they call them the money shot.
The money shot, yep.
Well, I'm so proud of you. And I'm so proud that I kind of turned you on to the whole thing. And I'm so disappointed that I wasn't there, you know, just kind of cheer you on. So you were going to say about Ken. Did he...
He did...
The ever-beautiful Ken.
He is beautiful and furry, which I love.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He probably has the most beautiful pelt, you know, chest hair I have ever...
I love it.
Belt. Yeah, it's really nice. But he stripped down to his undies.
What a guy.
Yeah. And he was watching me from across the room when I did my thing.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't sure whether he should be in there or not in there, if it was going to make me nervous, but, you know. But I did it. The end.
And have a nice day.
So, is there anything you want to share with my listeners before we say goodbye?
Yes, I do. All Robert Black listeners, I'm Robert Black's biggest fan, you know. Really, I'm serious.
Probably my only fan.
No, that's not true. We all know that. And we all know that. I would encourage anyone who is looking to see the inside of Robert Black, so to speak, as it were, to visit Daddy-O Productions and check out our movies After Hours and Barback Blues. And also, on my site, drdicksexadvice.com, you will find an interview in two parts, mind you, with the ever-popular Robert Black, who is my favorite porn star of all time.
Thanks, Dr. Dick.
Thanks, Robert Black. Hey, it's time for a little Q&A. Today's first correspondent is Mike, age 15. We don't know where he lives. He writes, "Hi, I'm 15 and I'm a virgin. I used to get a yellowy white discharge from my penis. It worried me, but eventually it just went away, so I shrugged it off. But 2 days ago, I had brief anal sex with a girl. I'm the giver, and I didn't finish, but now I noticed that while I was masturbating, it's back. Not painful, just there. Should I see if it goes away in a day or two? I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that you are describing pre-cum, or perhaps after-spooge dribble. Say, would you even know pre-cum from a hole in your head? I don't think what you're describing is a sexually transmitted infection, an STI or an STD or whatever they're calling it this year. Pre-cum, or pre-ejaculate, as it's technically known, is the product of the bubo-urethral gland, or Cowper's gland. This is part of our reproductive system, obviously. It's the size of a pea, and it sits just under the prostate gland behind the portion of the urethra at the base of our cock. And you know what? Women have a similar or analogous gland called the Bartholin gland. Theirs is located in the inner lips of their pussy, and it provides lubrication during sex. Basically, these clear or yellowish-white liquids are associated with the arousal stage of our sexual response cycle. Sometimes they build up and dribble out even if we aren't sexually active with ourselves or anyone else. In us guys, pre-cum lubricates and helps clean out any urine or foreign matter from our urethra that might impede or worse kill our very delicate sperm. Also, if you say that you had a brief anal sex with a girl, but no ejaculation, then you might have built up a fair amount of ejaculate that simply didn't spew out of your dick before the anal sex event was over. Well, it just stands to reason that all that build-up jizz needs to evacuate your body somehow, thus the discharge. Sometimes all our ejaculate doesn't discharge when we come, especially in younger men like you. The stuff that is left over in our seminal vesicles and prostate will inevitably dribble out our cock, making it look like a discharge. I hope that was helpful. Good luck. Next we hear from Dave, who's 30 and writes from Michigan. He writes, if someone exposes their penis and then sticks it through a glory hole, could you get arrested for engaging in oral sex with them? You're joking, right? You're 30 years old and you can't figure this out on your own? What, did you miss the whole Idaho Senator Craig debacle of last summer? Or the former Florida State Representative Bob Allen dust up shortly after that? Honey, are you some kind of Republican that you don't know shit like this? Public sex of any sort. Hell, even loitering or propositioning for sex in public is against the law everywhere. So, absolutely, blowing some dude through a glory hole in a private toilet will sure enough get you busted. That's not to say that guys don't take the risk, even a big risk, to smoke themselves some little anonymous pull in some public place like this. Again, I reference, neither one of us is gay, Senator Craig and Representative Allen. Good luck. Next, we hear from Josh R., who's 18, and we don't know where he writes from, but he says, hi, Doc. I'm 18 years old, and I have had a curved penis as long as I can remember. I read up a bunch, and from what I read, it's not a big deal. Would you say that it would cause me any trouble, such as fit? I just worry about that a lot. It doesn't cause me any pain, and I don't have any functional issues, and I'm sure it's not Peyronie's. I guess I'd know that if it were. I did use to wear my penis down in my underwear for many years, up to my mid-teens when I switched to boxers. The one thing that is weird, I can't bend it backwards easily toward my chest. It's very difficult to do, and also on the bottom of the shaft it feels a bit hard than the upper side, like it's the shape of a curve, if you know what I mean. Not really Peyronie's, like I don't think, it just feels a bit stiffer and unmovable. It's the first time I've ever bothered to ask anyone, and from what I ran across your site, you seemed cool enough to get a good answer from. I just wanted a one-to-one answer. First, thanks for the kind words about my site and me. That was really nice of you. Second, I'm also delighted to learn that you've been reading up on the topic of a curved dick. I'm always impressed when I hear from someone who is doing some research on body and sex issues. As they say, information is power. So, more power to you, my friend. Keep it up, so to speak. The fact is, many men have curved cocks. Some curve to the left, others to the right, some curve up, some curve down. You're clear on the concept of what creates wood, right? An erection occurs when two tubular structures that run the length of the penis, the corporal cavernosa, become engorged with blood. Imagine your cock is like a balloon with two separate inflatable tubes, one on either side. If you put more air pressure on one side of the balloon than the balloon will curve to one side or the other. It's simple as all that. On the underside of your cock is the corporal spongiosum. This also becomes somewhat engorged with an erection, but not as much as the corporal cavernosa. Sometimes there's a buildup of plaque that is responsible for the curvature. Maybe that's the hardness you feel. And if it is, there is virtually nothing that you can do about it. However, most of the time, particularly if the curve is not overly pronounced, it's just a natural variation on cock shape. Many guys believe that a bent cock is caused by wearing tight briefs instead of boxers, or it is caused by circumcision. These are myths. However, excessive rough or heavy handling masturbation during one's youth can promote a curvature later on in life. And that's why I always promote handling one's pecker with care. Good luck. Finally, for all you folks who can only access my adult product reviews via a podcast, I want to introduce you to Share by Fun Factory. It's $124, and you can get this little number in my stockroom. Whoa, sex fans. Look what the folks at Fun Factory sent me. What we have here is what they call Share. It's big, it's shareable, and it's oh so purple. Also comes in black and pink. It is also pretty fucking revolutionary, don't you know? But more about that in a minute. Once I had this baby in my hands, I knew for certain that I would be hard-pressed to review this device on my own. I'd have to find someone configured slightly different than myself, if you catch my drift, to put this amazing apparatus through its paces. I simply don't have the right parts to do this review properly. When faced with a situation like this, I inevitably turn to my best gal pal, my number one friend of the lesbian persuasion, Joy. Those of you who regularly tune into my podcast will no doubt already have heard me speak of Joy. Those of you who don't listen on a regular basis, why, you've just missed out. You see, Joy is my go-to person for all things vaginal. Not only does she have her very own pussy, she sure as hell knows her way around other pussies as well. I rang her up the other day and I told her she needed to rush right over. She wanted to know what was up. I told her that it was toy review time. She said, "Oh, ho-hum, another prostate stimulator?" I said, "No way, girlfriend. It's a strapless strap-on." I could practically hear her mind straining to wrap itself around that oxymoron. "Say what?" "You heard me. You gotta check this out. You're not gonna believe your eyes." I just happen to know that my pal Joy is a strap-on kind of dyke. Some lesbians aren't, and I'm totally okay with that. I also happen to know that Joy, being a big gal like she is, has a hard time finding a comfortable strap-on harness that fits properly and does not bind or crimp. In fact, I hear from a lot of women who like the idea of wearing a strap-on but find them way too uncomfortable. Even when Joy found a relatively comfortable harness, it still cramped her style big time. She told me that she just figured that this was the price one paid for the pleasure of plugging someone like a guy. All the traditional difficulty and discomfort of a harness strap-on vanish with the new revolutionary Share. I kid you not. Joy immediately realized the remarkable toy's potential. Once she laid eyes on the purple wonder, she proclaimed with delight, "Damn, if this don't give you all the privilege of a penis without devaluing the value of a vagina." Why, leave it to Joy to sum things up in a single sentence. For those of you who have yet to figure it out, Share is a wearable double dildo made of the highest quality silicone. This is truly a toy for two. Check it out. Now, the vagina onan partner inserts the shorter, more bulbous end into her hoo-ha. The shape of this insertable part is sure to stimulate her G-spot, don't you know? But that's not all. There's an upward curve to the protruding cock end of this device that will sure enough wind up smack dab on your clit once the bulbous insert is in place. But wait! There's more! Once the vagina onan partner has the bulbous end of Share properly situated in her pussy, she now has an ample 6+ inches of veiny cock to pretty much use as would the proud owner of a real schlong. And that, my friends, is about some of the best news I've heard in quite some time. Kudos to the Fun Factory folks for coming up with this amazing design. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that Share was invented by a woman or women. I just can't see a man, even a cool, with it, female-pleasing kind of dude putting two and two together to make something this remarkable. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Anyhow, back to Joy and her toy. Since I was handing over this treasure, I expected something in return. I told Joy that I wanted a blow-by-blow description of her usage. She was to spare me none of the gory details. "It's a deal," she said as she sashayed out the door. It was only a matter of hours until I received the first bulletin. Joy wanted to remind me to tell you that y'all can only use water-based lube with a silicone toy. Good point. Silicone-based lubes will dissolve a silicone toy. Next, she said that having the Share implanted in her pussy was like nothing she had ever experienced. She said there was no comparison to her strap-on. With a traditional strap-on, you have something on you, comfortable or not. With a Share, you have something in you, and that makes all the difference in the world. She continued, "I now understand why men swagger about when they parade around with a hard-on. As I walked around with my big purple cock swinging out in front of me, I could feel it rooted in my pussy. It bounced, and it stimulated my G-spot." She did say that the new sensations, the protruding cock and the fullness inside of her, took some getting used to. She said she discovered the Share really worked her PC muscles, which is an added, albeit unanticipated, benefit. She said she couldn't wait to pound her girlfriend and then flip-flop for reciprocal pounding by her. You go, girls. A couple of days later, I got the entire lowdown. Joy was full of superlatives. Awesome, amazing, and delicious were some of the words she used. The girlfriend and I never felt so close. One thing, though, while I had no problem inserting the wearer's part in me, Barbara did. It's a pretty hefty girth, you know. But then again, she's just a little thing. "Oh, okay, thanks for sharing," I responded. "Well, you told me not to spare you the gory details, remember?" I had to chuckle. Because silicone products are non-porous and hypoallergenic, care and cleaning are a snap. For everyday cleanup, mild soap and water is fine. However, if you're going to share your Share or any other toy, sterilizing is recommended. To do that, just drop them into a pot of boiling water for a couple of minutes, and then it's ready to go. Hey! You can even pop this puppy in the dishwasher for a no-fuss, no-muss cleanup. that's what's so great about silicon. Undoubtedly, it costs a bit more, but it is so worth it. One final word, just in case some of you need this spelled out for you, the share is the ideal toy for your average straight couple too. You don't have to be queer to take delight in switching roles. And ladies, won't your man be surprised when he climbs into bed, pulls back the covers to gaze upon your loveliness, only to discover that you have a big purple, black or pink, cock protruding from your pussy. Pegging your man's ass like the bitch he is has never been so easy or more fun. Remember, no straps, no harness. Simply insert your part in you and tap his booty until your heart's content. Enjoy. Yikes, look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature. You'll find a link to this amazing resource in the category section of the sidebar of my site. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.